that's under their control. The old vision has proven the city's radioactive home. Lonely home. We don't know what their game is, what their name is. We don't know what they came for, but what they aim for is impossible.
Wednesday.
Oh,
Wednesday.
It's always Wednesday. Well, welcome back to CKLN, and this is our final installment of the Church of the Subgenius, or is it? Bob.
You said you didn't want to discuss this on air, Mike. So you're willing, as usual, unpredictable. You want me to try to convert you to the possibility that I could operate clairvoyantly at midnight. Do you want me to convince you? Well, obviously, Mike. Obviously, you know, the main reason I'm on, personally, aside from the political importance of my mission, is I just love the feel, the electric feel, when, you know, when my mouth is kissing the interval between the mic and the headphones, this little electric resonant, you know what I mean? It just feels, I mean, we have guests here, they probably are feeling it.
Don't you look like Rod Serling would make that.
Yeah, it's just, I just love the post-sexual, post-body intimacy of the electric resonance when talking. That is the main reason, personally, why I'm on. You know, who is Bob personally? We can't identify that. But as a collective mantra, I do have a political mission. And anybody who works for me gets slack. And you...
That's been proven.
You are getting more and more slack, even though sometimes you have personal disruptions that appear they're leading in the wrong direction. But the symbolism of today is expressed on the front page of the Toronto Mail Star. I can't help saying the Mail Star. The Halifax Past. No, the Toronto Star, right? Did you see the cover?
I didn't know.
All right, up on the left-hand corner, it says something about a TV show whose students are getting older. All right? It says Degrassi TV students causing problems getting older. All right? And then on the right up-hand corner, right?
Yes.
It says, RFK files filed.
You were kidding.
Yeah, 20 really? Years. Yeah.
You have more synchronicity. Just
yeah, I mean,
ruined,
Bob
mean.
Marshall's work and your work.
Work.
Juxtaposed there on this day, the final day. Now, Mike, don't you see the synchronicity that happens? I mean, like 2 weeks ago, you did not know that Subgenius Doug Nicholson would be bringing up glossolalia. But when I wanted to read a secret file for the first time, you put on this tape that garbled over what I said, creating the effect of glossolalia 10 minutes before the topic was brought up. This looks like it's been pre-planned. Not from our point of view, it hasn't been pre-planned.
Not once.
But we know from my point of view, not our, my, which is separate from the our, right, the you and I, my point. From my perspective, it is pre-planned, but I allow it to evolve without too much direct, detailed application of goal orientation. You know what I mean? So that Doug talks about glossolalia after we've already expressed it as an example 10 minutes before. So Doug didn't know, and you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And again today, the cover of the Mail Star. I'm going to call it the Halifax Mail Star, which is just a matchable replay of the Toronto Star, right? Candace Major Daly. So, I mean, I'm not being inaccurate. Probably the Ottawa Citizen has the same cover, right? Not the New York Times. You know, they're, you know, Rockefeller-controlled, and Toronto's Bolshevik-controlled, as I've explained many times. And the Pinks of Canada are going to wonder why they go into more poverty as we go through the 1990s. Yet Canadian businessmen like Campo, a Knight of Malta, will make amazing purchases and inroads into the American enterprise.
Is he a member of the Knights of Malta?
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's been, how could he make these huge billions of bucks purchases if he wasn't?
So that might be his next big purchase.
The Vatican?
Yeah.
No, you can't. He represents the Vatican. Nobody can buy the Vatican.
You can't buy the Vatican?
No, the Vatican.
What a shopping mall it would make, though.
Remember it said in the beginning was the word, the word in architectural form is the Vatican.
But can't you see an Eaton's, and a Simpsons in the Bay, all within the Vatican? So I'm just...
No, it already is inside the Vatican. The Vatican goes around the planet under satellite conditions. The whole planet is inside the Vatican. Now, what isn't inside the Vatican is Gorbachev's office in Moscow. The one little apparatus that's managed to wake itself up and out of the invisible structure that envelops the whole planet, which the Vatican has always had a leverage on. With a little interruption from the British Protestant Empire.
Bob,
the Queen.
Bob, let's look back over the last 10 months or so. What have the highlights been for you since we've dredged this up on over
well,
the
Well, one of the big highlights was, aside from the election, I mean, that was the whole purpose, being elected, but
you
can't take anything off here. One of the major highlights was having Connie come back home from Afghanistan, because we were using her phone number. And then that reality forcing her to fly back immediately before we went on the air and interrupt the show, that was a definite highlight. Because I don't get much chance to work with Connie, personally. Using my body. You know what I mean? Mouth, eyes, ears, nose, legs, private parts. These things do not have tactile interface often with Connie because she has a huge empire to run, and so do I. Matter of fact, this could be a confession time. Maybe that's why I prefer the discarnate experience, because I am in contact with Connie all the time in the discarnate level, very rarely in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me personally, that was a highlight. But I think, as usual, being the master of Slack, just seeing the changes that you've gone through, Mike.
Oh, that's very
that
nice.
That really, the old maxim, if I change one person's life, then by God, half of my life has been worth living, right?
Praise God. Praise God.
And seeing the transformation in you and your personal life, and the changes in people who have listened regularly and understood the mission of Bob. We have a few here today.
Yeah.
One of them, anyways. The other is either his bodyguard or the maritime intelligence. I'm not sure. All right? So...
Did you want to introduce them at this point?
I don't think so.
No.
They don't. Yeah. We'll let them have a chance. By 10 months... And we've seen events speed up to the point that the Pentagon is still having tantrums, representing that faction of Secret Council 10, which I've ousted. What was the date? February 24th? Yeah, election results were in on March 2nd or something like that. Seeing that tantrum going on in the United States, expressed around various hotspots, and seeing the futility and lack of slack in the response of everybody to it. What are you doing, Mike? You're moving your finger.
I'm just going to get the phone.
They're not ringing here. You guys are talking about Robert Anton Wilson and cover that show. Let's see if that's that person.
It might be okay. Yeah, we had a question last week about Robert Anton Wilson.
Why should I finish my sentences? You ask me.
We've already covered Mr. Wilson, but I thought perhaps we should reiterate for this listener your feelings on Anton Wilson.
Well, let's see if the caller...
It's gone.
It's a great call. They get scared when we're actually going to answer. Yeah. All right. As I said rather articulately about 6 months ago, Robert Anton Wilson was a mistake.
Simple.
A mistake.
Nice. Okay.
In detail, he put down Mae Bressel in his early books. Mae Bressel now is very important, and it's been proven, and Anton Wilson will not recant that. The second point is the Gnostic secret tradition of the West is obsolete. It's the invisible nature of the old nature, the old shamanic tradition. So he goes around, whether he knows it or not, propagating the dogma, the Gnostic symbolism, figures without ground, imposing it on young minds, not of necessarily young ages, but young minds, pretending it is a tradition that needs to be protected and is under attack, and that he is the exemplar of. Now, he's dealing with an obsolete tradition. I've confronted him directly on the electric effects. He claims to know the source of the idea, but he doesn't have an understanding of the direct percept of the electric effects and the new nature, therefore creating a necessity for a new symbolism. Not Gnostic, not Catholic, not any conceptual framework, either from the manuscript tradition or the oral tradition. This is a post-human image and their appendages situation. What? How can we symbolize that? That's the situation. The fifth estate, giggling in the background. You know, the fifth column that Herbert Armstrong stated in the perfect pitch, volume one, number one, has been running humanity since Christ. Screwed up, you know. Since Christ incompleted the situation. No, Christ is the end of creation. That's something I should explain.
Again,
synchronicity working. I mean, I've been saying to myself, if there ever is a last show, then on that show I must explain why Bob Dobbs is a Roman Catholic. This would be startling for many people. Why is Bob Dobbs a Roman Catholic?
You touched upon Christianity and...
I'm saying it. I'm an agent for the Vatican after knocking and molding and bypassing the Vatican.
Well, we've had no continuity up to this point. Why don't you just continue?
Maybe this does offer an item of continuity.
Right. Why is Bob a Catholic?
Because
Bob Dobbs.
Yeah, Bob Dobbs is a Roman Catholic because... You know, I've actually been one unquestioningly. I don't know why I've been a Roman Catholic. I never admitted it. But I'm going to have to do some fast trancing here to figure out why I am and why I want to continue to be a Catholic. I think because hierarchy and bureaucracy is necessary under visual conditions. That's the product of visual space under manuscript and particular printing press conditions. Now, Christ was the last human image, the ultimate extension of dealing with the forces of night, the forces of pink, up to that point in humanity's history. So Christ is the last human image. Doesn't mean the images that are projected on icons that we know of him are the appropriate image, that he is nothing with his psychodrama that he played out. Notice he never wrote what he did, right? After that, man is subject not to the postures of individual mind, the figures of personal rhetoric. They are subject to the figures and postures of collective mind. As manuscript culture spread through the pre-1000 AD period and then took off with the Gutenberg galaxy and then flipped into the electronic archetype, you could see that the Roman Catholic Church was an important bastion leading up to the electric age of an image of bureaucracy. They needed to be hierarchical, and they held together visual space in pre-Christ terms. This is very complex, and I'm not going to...
I'm starting to...
get it.
No, I'm starting to daze off.
Actually. Oh, I mean, you're tuning into the rhetoric. Yeah, you're turning into how I'm really communicating. See, I can do this, right? I can drive you to sleep, which is the truth of Bob, right? And, of course, when the electric environment came in and made bureaucracy obsolete, that made the Vatican irrelevant, their hierarchy. But if anybody follows the true subgenius doctrines implied in Christ's work, and he finds another person, then there's a church. Remember? Any two or more gather in my name, then you are subgeniuses. That means that if there are only two subgeniuses who recognize the work of Christ, then one of them has to be Pope. Right? And even though I run the Secret Council 10, I'm always available to be Pope when there are only one other Catholics left on the planet. And I think the Vatican's going to go through an era of persecution. All right? Which might be good for it.
See, like a Pope on call.
Yeah, when after the persecution, when those pinks who have persecuted them, they think they're justified, and the karma's built up that they would appear to be justified, when that situation has diminished the value and power of the church, then Bob would never let an institution disappear completely. So, you're right. I'm a Roman Catholic on call. I'd even make it more important than being on Secret Council 10. But not now. So this is a major confession of Bob.
So that's that little black thing hanging off your belt as a pager. At any given time, you could be called to the Vatican. Is that how it works?
Under electric conditions, any institution can be wiped out. All institutions under the electric environment are dehumanized. And the Vatican knows this. As a matter of fact, there may only be one member of the church now, Pope John Paul II, and he's looking for me. You know, the way he's been touring around the world, there is a sense of question for an image or something. So we'll see if he comes knocking. Now, Mike, you know, why should I confess? Because I may be on next week with you, right?
Let's treat this, Bob, as the last show, in this time slot. And, you know, if you're on at a different time, it'll be a different feeling, won't it?
I'm looking forward to being on at night.
I think you'll be far more outspoken and far more delirious at 12 o'clock at night than you are now, because now you're hitting the supper time crowd. People are opening up their boxes of instant dinner and putting them in their boiling bags and
inside their cars.
And so you're a little mellower, more sensual now than I think you will be at midnight. Midnight it'll be.
You mean the subgenius operates at a higher frequency at that hour?
I would think so. But let's just treat this as the last show in this slot, all right?
Well, it's going to make me sad, and I think I want to play something for you. What I would say in this mood would not be the feeling of tragedy. If I really get sad and expressed it, the awesome wrenching of people's emotions, especially subgenii, would, I think, blow out the system, blow out the electric environment, and I don't want to do that. So I've picked a human. Maybe he's a subgenius. Let's see. I've picked a human to express my sentiments about working with you, Mike, because we, in a sense, have kept that Roman Catholic thing, that dogma about if two or more gather my name, we have done that. You have changed. I have not changed. But I've allowed other people to see the changes that I did go through a long time ago. So I'd like you to play this as an expression of all those people who enjoyed your work with me, and even before we picked June 17th to begin the final turn last summer. We want to have this song, I think, will express what many people who will not be able to listen to you on Wednesday night are feeling. I think they feel sad because you have done important work. You've done homeopathic sound research, created audio landscapes for 4 years. And you, talking about whether I would change at midnight, are just projecting your own pondering about what will happen to you at midnight. So let's go to the song.
Because without you,
I'm not with you Wednesday night.
Nothing. With men in space. We're talking about telepathic communication with elder gods.
Actually, Houston, that was Clear Lake City. It didn't exist until Lyndon Johnson was begat by the Lord, and he brought the cow pasture that was Clear Lake City, and it became Houston, but it's really Clear Lake City, and that's all there is to it. It has nothing to do with the city of Houston until they annexed it last year.
I think you're...
call that space. I wouldn't call it...
We're drifting from the true word of God.
Yeah, they're drifting from the two-word of Bob. Oh. Mike's got a call. Let's see if he's got a question. We're not allowed to take calls on the air live anymore.
Church of the Subgenius. Oh, you should know about it. Yeah.
They don't know about it.
Well, keep going. Actually, do you want to... Maybe you should listen to the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, put the radio on.
The Church of the Subgenius is a...
Acoustic space.
Out of Dallas, Dallas, Texas.
No, Mike, that's wrong. It was the church before 1982. Yeah, it's very conflict. I'm on the air, so hang up, get your radio. I think this is a deflection from me getting this information. Mike, get that person on. Get that. Mike, secret files. Thanks. Handle that beautifully. All right, since we run out of time, I want to say a final message, a practical message.
That was a woman who wanted to know what we were doing, and you didn't give me time to explain.
Well, I explained it.
But I guess there was some confusion because there were three or four voices going at once.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
There's no reason why not.
You interrupt this late, but there could be some last-minute conversions.
That woman said that what we were doing sounds like it's something she should know about, so... She certainly said. Tell her to call 657-8040. I'll deal with her later. 657-8040. Leave your number and Bob will help you. Okay. You've got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We've got 10 minutes.
Yeah, here we go. I've been told and asked where I got my information. Well, the kind of information I'm going to put out is the kind only I can have. But if you listen, and if that woman is listening now, you're going to hear some updates that you would never hear in all of your covering of electronic surveillance. In other words, electronic consumption of any medium you use here in Toronto. We're going to tell you the developments that have been occurring in Europe since the explosion of Irangate. All right? There's much that's going on now that affects the fate of George Bush and Gary Hart, who probably will be president, though it doesn't look like it right now. But it's going to happen if I get this information out. Here we go. Point one. In West Germany, the Hamburg trial of Countess Lisa von Schwerin, an oligarch, is scheduled to conclude on March 18th. This is old news. New to you. Ignore the dates. This trial, in it, she's expected to be given a 3-year jail sentence for arranging arms sales to Iran. Her network of collaborators has met a sad fate. One was thrown out a third-story apartment and seriously injured, while another mysteriously disappeared about 1 year ago and has never been found. Item number two, also in West Germany on March 4th, 1988, businessman Karl Heinz Weitzershagen was convicted of illegal arms sales to Iran by a court in Arnsberg near Dortmund and given a suspended 10-month sentence and fined 20,000 Deutschmarks. As with the Countess von Schwerin, Weitzershagen did his business with Iran via Switzerland, serving as an intermediary between Israel and Iran for the sale of TOW missiles. And we know that Switzerland is the former depository for the Secret Council pen on the banks. Item number three, the Weitzershagen dossier has led to a new scandal inside Switzerland itself, of course. This is all happening as a result of my election on February 24th. A unit of Swiss intelligence faction is under suspicion for having organized a meeting on March 14th, 1986, in the VIP lounge at Zurich Airport between Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres and Hamid Nagashian, the minister in charge of purchasing arms for Iran. The Peres-Nagashian negotiations, according to the Swiss weekly Sonntagsblick, March 6th, were for delivering 3,000 American TOW anti-tank missiles to Iran in exchange for Iran agreeing to liberate American Israeli hostages. Listen, Ken, they never had this kind of information at Fifth Estate. All right, that's why I had to come to Toronto. Ken will explain his response in a minute. Third item. In Italy, the most interesting developments center around the investigations of a magistrate in Venice. We know that the Secret Council of Ten is based on a historical model of the Council of Ten that ran Iran through most of the Middle Ages up till 1798 when Napoleon moved in. Anyways, this magistrate, Felice Tassad, who has been looking into a group of neo-Nazis and Iranians involved in weapons smuggling and snuggling with the Ayatollah Montazeri intelligence group in Iran, another faction, on the track of one Abedi Tari... On the track of one Abedi Tari, Judge Casson discovered an entity called the Islamic Republic Shipping Offline, pursuing further tracks in both Venice and Genoa. Or Genoa, what do you say? Genoa or Genoa?
Genoa.
Genoa. All right. Genoa. All right. He obtained telexes of two Italian affiliates of France's Luchère firm, C and Consor. Luchère itself had previously... Are you listening, lady? 657-8040. Luchère, you never even heard of that company before. Luchère itself had previously been identified as involved in Irangate deals. The payments to the affiliates went through the branches of the Banca Nazionale della Varroa, BNL, for an acronym, in Singapore, Bangkok, and Hong Kong. The point man for Luchère in Italy is one Mario Appiani, the director of the C Company in Turin and of the Defects Company based in Lisbon. Look at the network. Look at the international network under electric conditions. There are no nations. There are no people. There are just Exxon, me, and me. The latter company has previously been identified as one of the companies used by Oliver North in Iranian arms deals. Meanwhile, we come full circle here, Mike. We come full circle from our topics in June 1987. Meanwhile, one of the potentially intriguing aspects of this story is that among those prestigious individuals who sit on BNL, that's the Banco Nazionale del Lavoro, on that bank's international advisory board, our French presidential candidate Raymond Barre, and of course Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger comes back the fourth man. The first world is Western industrialism. The second world is Russian socialism. The third world is the undeveloped world. And the fourth world is the electric world that goes around all of them. And it's the premium mobile of inflation in all forms of information and hardware. And Henry Kissinger is the trigger man between all four worlds. This is technical information. Mike, I've done my bit. Thanks for getting this information out.
More synchronicity, Bob. A caller just wanted to let me know that 200 motels?
Yeah.
Is available now on videotape.
Real subgenius. That's coded information, Bob. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Now, let's move on.
Yeah, I think we should, we have some, we're going to find out. Pinks or subgenius.
We have some sitting here, been sitting patiently. Half an hour. Ken and Dave. Dave is interesting because he actually is distributing Stang's work. He distributes the Book of the Subgenius, which we've been knocking and helping to increase their sales. And he also is going to work on Stang's new book, High Weirdness by Mail. Dave, let's see what he says.
I'm not sure what you mean by work on it. Yes, we're distributing it. I don't know how far it goes, you know, the bookstores and so forth. I'm not sure that they're aware of what they've got when they get those books. I know that a lot of our people aren't fully aware of the importance. I think it's...
Subgenius, one for Ken, not for Dave so far. Okay, Dave, you
No, I'm just thinking about that time driving back to Guelph at 5, and I'm wondering what's going to be on the air on Wednesday nights. Wednesday evenings.
You're going to have to go to the Canadian National Tire. I think that's what they call it. Canadian National Tire. Yeah. You go there and buy a timer, and you take Mike at midnight. Some friend here, because you may not be able to get it in Guelph.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have to go up in your car.
Drive around.
Yeah, and go right. to, with you and your loved ones.
Under the stars.
Yeah, midnight. Though you got to get up early to come to work.
About 6.
See the pressures in the pink world?
Yeah.
Are you a pink?
A little bit, I guess.
Yeah, look.
That's why I need more of the show, you know. I've heard about 4 or 5 times.
And you know something's happening that's never happened before in radio.
Yeah,
this guy, he's got a lot of potential. He sees the error of his ways. He wants to be corrected. And
to turn in the Gore-Tex for the cortex.
That's Ken, see.
That's true, I think.
Yeah, that's Ken's from Halifax. David's from Halifax. I might be from Halifax. Some parts of me were, right?
The male star.
Yeah, the male star.
The male star.
Okay. I brought back the charisma of the left hemisphere because I recognize the right hemisphere. I know the planet's undergoing feminization, you know what I mean? And I'm fully aware of the dogmas within the various female groups.
You should put that phone number again.
657-8040. And I know that I can integrate the problems that women are going to have as they take over from men. All right? There are problems that they don't know. So my ability to use all my wits and faculties simultaneously enables me to use all my hemispheres, plus, you know, the other 22 that they haven't discovered yet, which go beyond the human image. So long as women think of themselves as in terms of a female human image, it's not going to work.
We're getting more open, so they'll probably plug into that eventually with your help, with the help of shows like this.
Well, under surveillance conditions... The Secret Council 10 will rule, and luckily I'm chairman of it so I can guide it, will rule for the next 50 years. Women will take over the bureaucratic functions and the shepherding of the corporate media. Shepherdess is what we're looking for. Their ideology will unfortunately be irrelevant, but I can make it relevant because I can make all old things new again.
Under what conditions, Bob?
Under conditions of me being on the air. You don't even know what this is. You don't know why you're here. You like the Stang tape. Would you say I'm better than Stang?
Well, better, you get into comparisons when you talk about better. And
let's let us talk this before, Ken.
He has more firepower, but you have more power. It's all a relative
scale. That's amazing. Fire is the symbol for the electric environment. He has to use, like, up as a figure on the electric ground. Mm. He has to look, have a visual reference point, which your mind picked up. Mm. But I am power because I am the electric environment. I am fire, but not a visual image. Not an old nature image, a new kind of fire.
I knew the minute I came in I could pick up, even though I hadn't heard the show.
Or met me before.
So, no, and not even having... People probably won't believe that I hadn't met you before hearing me talk like this, but it's... It was in the air. It was an electromagnetic kind of connection. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and it's not just because you're from Hell, it's Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, I knew this. I knew Kent would resonate, yeah.
Did you just say Kenwood? I used to live on Kenwood.
Kent.
No, we call him Ken. It works
better. Okay, Kent.
I used to live... You just said you knew Kenwood.
Yeah. Kenwood.
Trust me. Really? And I lived on Kenwood.
Down east?
No, in Toronto. I used to live on Kenwood.
That's
our synchronicity. That's what happens on the show. Like,
I've seen so much of it since I've been in this booth of synchronicity that just happening between you and Mike and Malice and all of Dave.
And then the hard information they put out, which you would never hear.
You would never hear anywhere.
I just want to put this in because somebody mentioned 200 motels.
Yeah.
And I went to see Clarence Gatemouse Brown last night.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's good stuff because he's listed on what? What did you first hear about Brown?
Gatemouse?
Yeah. See, it relates to 200 motels, you're right. He's listed on Zappa's first album, Freak Out.
Oh, really?
You know, he listened to 180
people. I knew they admired each other, guitar players.
So you were subconscious, So you were initiated to the subgenius strain last night by Gatemouse.
Oh, Gatemouse was amazing.
And then you knew it.
Bluegrass, jazz, blues, everything. And polkas. He did polkas.
Is he 80? Would he be 80?
64.
Oh,
geez. He's
playing like he was 80.
Yeah. 8 years of experience. That's what I'm picking up on. Thanks, Ken.
I think Ken is definitely a subgenius, and Dave is transforming.
Okay, we'll accept calls right until 5:30 to...
are we on for longer?
We're off now, actually. The news dupes have to come in and talk about the Blue Jays, so... and really other relevant things. And no doubt some communist manifesto. But I think we should leave.
Okay, Mike, it's been a revelation. It's been inspiring, and it's going to continue at midnight next Wednesday.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Yes, thank you very much, and thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you some other time, I guess, next Wednesday at 12 o'clock.
Yes.
And I don't know what will be here any other Wednesday, so we'll see. Okay, thanks, Bob. Praise Bob.
Praise Bob.
And let us go out modestly with very few tears.
Yeah, praise Bob.
Who shot the Pope?
Sunday morning at 10 on 88.1 CKLN.
There's a lot of radio stations in Toronto, but only one CKLN. We are your 88.1 and only.
Bicycle. Bicycle.